Yes.
Volume of information.
Yep. What is your name, sir?
Mr. Randolph.
Mr. Randolph, Honorable Mr. Kiwanis is going to conduct your hearing in just one moment, sir, if you can just hold on.
So, Mr. Randolph?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Just give me one moment to get our roster in order, and then we'll get started. And sir, if you could, if you can pull the receiver away from your mouth, you have a very sensitive phone, and I want you to listen and talk, but in between, yeah, you can just hold it down. Thank you. Okay, before we get started, we also have a couple of representatives from Mr. Randolph. Will you both be speaking? Okay, when it comes to time to read people in, I'll read everyone.
You're not coming in, Claire.
1 second, sir. Can you hear me clear now? Can you hear me now, sir?
Yes, you're looking in and out, but I can hear you.
I'm not sure what I can do to control that. Hold on. Is that any better?
Okay.
Is that any better?
Yes.
Okay. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record, sir?
Timothy Carlton Randolph, Sr., 190141.
Good afternoon. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on September 29, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights? One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you. Are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your teleconference screen, to my extreme far left at the end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. White. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. And to my right is Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Randolph, and your names, please. Yes, sir. I'm trying to swear you in, but also your two representatives and our parole officer. Can you hear me?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Randolph. Okay. So, Mr. Randolph, just state your names.
Deja.
Last names?
Both Randolph.
Both Randolph. Okay. And Mr. Osborne? Do you all solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, and so you affirm.
Yes.
Mr. Randolph?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Randolph, when I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, oh, pardon me. In this particular case, we have a pending charge. At least that's what we believe we have based on the fact that there's a department report number associated with this case. So when I read the allegation to you, you'll have the choice of stating whether it is true, false, or you wish to remain silent. Do you understand, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this hearing is being recorded, so the recording of this hearing can be pulled by the prosecutor's office if you have a pending charge. Does that make sense?
I have a pending charge?
Yes, sir. At least that's what we think. We'll find out during the second phase of the hearing.
No, I have no pending charge. charge you, sir.
Okay. Well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the choice of whether or not of responding, whether it is true, false, or you wish to remain silent. And we'll find out about the status of the charges later, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, I'm going to read from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal razor company as follows. Violation of condition number 5 is demonstrated by engagement in physically assaultive behavior on July 27, 2017 at 2202 North 92nd Glen, Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Randolph, is this true, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
I wish to remain silent.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Randolph's decision to remain silent, we still need to hear the allegation read by our community corrections officer. So, Mr. Randolph, if you'll just wait for a moment, we'll come back to you.
Okay.
Yes, sir. On July 27, 2017, at approximately 18:29 hours, CCO Ramos received a call from the offender's sponsor, Rodisha Tai. Ms. Tai stated that the offender came home belligerent, and when she tried to calm him down, he hit her in the eye with a closed fist. She stated that she then called city police, who in turn arrested the offender for assault, domestic violence. After reviewing the report written by Officer Velarquez, badge number 10118 with the Phoenix Police, it matched the information given by Ms. Tai per Phoenix Police report on July 27, 2017. Officer Narvaez, badge number 8988, and Velarquez, number 10118, responded to an emergency call of an assault located at 2202 North 92nd Glen, Phoenix, Arizona. Upon arrival, contact was made with the victim, which stated she was in the kitchen when the offender walked into the house yelling. When the victim told the offender to leave, he clenched his fist and then struck her in the left side of her face, on or near her eye. Ms. Tai then grabbed the knife and told the offender that she would use the knife if he tried to hit her again. The offender then went outside the house. As soon as the offender went outside, Ms. Tai locked the door. As soon as she did this, the offender started banging on her door. That is when Ms. Tai's 14-year-old daughter called the police, as she became frightened after witnessing the offender hit her mother. Ms. Tai's daughter and 23-year-old son saw the offender hit the mother and made statements to the family. The offender was then read his rights, arrested, and charged with assault, intentional and knowing physical injury. He was taken to Maryville Prison and later transported to Central Booking.
So is there any follow-up at this point, or any status, or is that not till phase two?
I do have staff charges. They were dismissed on September 7th of 17.
Thank you. That's important to know. Okay, Mr. Randolph, you wish to remain silent, but we're going to go ahead and move through the first phase of this hearing. And that is based on information provided in warrant number 2017-W2600, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have or have lapsed or criminal ways or company, in as much that he did have police contact.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Randolph, can you hear me?
Yes.
We're going to move on to the second phase of the hearing. During this phase, we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you could just remain on the phone, we will come back to you momentarily for questions. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Randolph was released from DOC custody on February 10th of 2017. He was arrested on July 27th of 2017 by the Phoenix Police Department for misdemeanor assault and domestic violence. He was returned back to our custody on September 8th of 2017 with 0 scum days, with a community supervision end date of June 10th of 2019. Current conviction, 2004, discharging a firearm in city limits for 1 year. And 2004, promoting prison contraband, 15 years and 9 months. He's had one term with DOC, has a CIR score of 2-3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 0. There is no STGR being information noted. Has a minimal disciplinary history with promoting prison contraband and fighting noted. Other arrests, 1988, theft of vehicle, Nevada, felony conviction, state prison. 1991, robbery, Nevada, felony conviction, state prison. And 1998, misconduct involving weapons, Nevada, felony conviction, state prison. Has a greater risk of G2B4, and status of charges state that charges were dismissed on September 7th of 2017.
Okay, Mr. Randolph, I can see why you were saying that there are no charges, but sometimes during these hearings, we don't find out the status till later, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to move on to the hearing. According to the notes, it looks like that you approved to reside with your aunt, Brenda Taylor, at 1721 East Atlanta, Phoenix, Arizona. Then you requested to move in with your girlfriend, Rhodesia Tai, located at 2202 North 92nd Glen. You stated that you could not stay at your aunt's house anymore because there was a lot of negative activity in the neighborhood.
Sir?
1 second. It looks like that you were authorized to live at 92nd Glen, but the address on 92nd Glen tore up to the time of your arrest. Yes, sir. What did you want to say?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
No, I couldn't hear you, but you were saying that's why I stopped and be quiet.
Oh, pardon me, sir. I was just reading where you were living.
Oh, yes, sir.
Were you working when you were outside of the prison system, sir?
Yes, sir. I still have my job at Breeze Cable Land Care Industries on 51st and Thunderbird Avenue.
I'm going over your programming notes. You provided a total of 6 urine samples to task. It says on March 14th, April 17th, May 15th, June 23rd, you provided urine samples that were found to be positive for THC or marijuana. Because the only time you were provided a clean urine sample was the first month you were out of prison in February. You failed to provide samples in May. You were reprimanded for use of marijuana, told to stop using illegal drugs. In April of 2017, you referred to Maricopa Reentry Center for 3 days to address the second positive for smoking marijuana. On June 28th, 2017, you were brought to the office for another positive urine sample for THC. And I'll just scroll down. It basically said that during sanctions, you were brought into the office for another positive urine sample. You were sanctioned with completing a briefing intervention exercise that you had to complete. You were warned that you would have to attend treatment if you tested positive again. You were arrested before that next visit. So, to go back to the beginning, sir, your warrant of arrest is over an assault of activity. Those charges were dropped. There is reference in the case supervision summary that you're continuing to use marijuana, so what was going on with that?
Well, I used marijuana for my chronic arthritis on the left side of my leg. I got nerve damage, and parole officer told me to get a medical card, which I was in the process of doing, but I had just got the job and stuff, and I was going to get a medical card.
Okay, sir.
And which he had sanctioned me at that time, and he told me that if it happens again, then all the sanctions could happen, and I told him it wouldn't happen anymore.
going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Randolph, did you ever get a marijuana card?
Excuse me?
Did you ever get a marijuana card?
No, sir. I was given the time I got arrested. I was going to get it that evening, but I got arrested before that could happen.
So,
I was going to apply for work.
So, sir, why did you continue? Why did you continue to use marijuana while you was out, sir, even after your parole officer was telling you not to?
Well, I didn't want to be on openness, sir, to be honest with you.
You didn't want to what?
That was the only alternative for them to put me on Percocets, the doctors, and I didn't want to take Percocets, because that's an opiate, and I don't want to take that kind of drug.
So what were you going to take Percocets? Why was the doctor going to give you Percocet?
Because I have nerve damage in my left leg from what I got shot at.
Okay. And so that's why...
And that's the reason why I was using that, the marijuana, to help my leg. If it wasn't that I was just smoking just to be smoking, no, I don't do that. That's when he explained to me to go get a medical card. And once I started working, I was working on getting a medical card. And after I got the sanction, he explained to me if it happened again, he was going to put me in classes. If I didn't get the card, I told him, okay. And I started dealing with the pain and going to work every day and was getting my medical card. And the day I got arrested, that's when I got paid and I was going to get my medical card, but I got arrested.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Randolph.
Mr. Randolph, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
My follow-up question is, how are you dealing with pain inside the correction system right now?
I'm on 600 IV units, which don't bring me up, but I just have to deal with it.
I appreciate your honesty, sir. Any further questions from fellow board members? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and ask your supporters if they would like to speak to the board.
Can you come up here right
now? Yes, just one at a time, or do you need to speak together?
Oh,
thank you. Yes, ma'am, you can state your name. And what would you like to share with the board? Hold on, ma'am. Any questions from fellow board members? Thank you, ma'am. And ma'am, before you speak, is that green light on? Okay, thank you.
She speaks.
No, I wasn't sure if it was on or off. Thank you, ma'am. If you can state your name.
I'm DJ Randolph. I'm her mother. I just want to re-illustrate that he does have a job, and his boss is holding it for him. And I really need him to come home for financial support. I take care of my daughter by myself. I have a lot of stuff in my head, but I get up here and get kind of a little nervous. It's hard. Just get in there. And, you know, he just needs to take some responsibility for some of his actions that he does do. And as far as his marijuana use, he does take it for his leg. And he was not abusing it in any way, you know. It just took him a while to get his car because those suckers are very expensive. So he was working to get the money to do so, but he ended up incarcerated before he had a chance to get it. So, and I'm on the opiates myself, and they're not something that you really want to be taking constantly. So I understand what he wants to do that, but me working, I can't be doing anything as far as anything like that. So, you know, but we do need him home. My daughter needs him more than I. You know, I'll probably have more to say after I sit down and monitor a little bit, but that's all I have to say right now.
Thank you, ma'am. Hold on. Yes, Mr. Johnson. Pardon me.
Ms. Randolph, right?
Yes.
So, this incident that occurred, how, what prevents that type of incident from happening?
Well, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of details, but a lot of the incident was overreported as far as him hitting with a closed fist. He did not hit me.
Well, let's not go through that. Because he asked that we not talk about
it. Yeah, see, I wasn't going to mention until he asked
me. We bring it to feel from but, that, so.
Okay,
he
so let me,
because you're asking for him to come home.
Yes.
Because this incident occurred, okay.
I understand that he's not going to be able to come back to the resident. I don't have a problem with that.
Yes.
So a halfway house, I think, would be best for him to basically transition back into the real world. And I don't have a problem with that. I just need him more out so he can get back to work. Because my daughter needs his support as much as I do. You know, life goes on. You know what I'm saying? I have an older daughter she needs. I have a son also. My daughter has things that she needs. You know what I'm saying? And when he was out, he was paying child support. He's in there. He's not paying anything. So, you know, and as far as the incident, it was blown out of proportion. And that's why there is no charges. So, that's all I have to say about that.
Mr. Oswald.
And I could just let them know there also anybody that was present during the scenario that occurred, we're not going to talk about. There can be a no contact while on parole. And a 14-year-old and 23-year-old, they're only time by the
Well, my son, he's grown.
Yeah, I know, but everybody would be considered the victim. And there could be no contact while on parole.
That's, if that's what it is, that's what it is.
I'm just letting you know.
Okay, I'm not disputing that. It is what it is. Like I said, I need my daughter, as far as her, him being out, you know what I'm saying, to support his child. If he can't, can he call her at least? You know, as far as any interaction.
No contact. Writing, phone,
call,
right,
send nothing, email, or nothing.
You know, she really needs a dad. Like I said, she's been with Alan for 14 years, and he came back into her life, and they started to build a bond and whatnot. I hate for that to be interrupted. But it is what it is. If anything, I needed more financial support. My daughter needs things, and I can't cover everything. You know, I do it all by myself. So, you know, like I said, his job, I've been calling in, checking on his boss. I'm still holding his job. I even have paychecks for his that I really can't do anything with. So, you know, I need him out. So, I don't know if you want to ask
me. No, thank you, ma'am. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Randolph, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there anything else you would like to share with the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat yourself.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
I did not hear what you said the last ended.
Do you have anything else you would like to share with the board before we go into discussion?
No, I would just like to get back to work and go back to work.
Thank you, sir.
And you won't have no more problems out of me.
Thank you, sir. The board is now going into discussion. It may sound like we're speaking with you, Mr. Randolph, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to a vote. So if you just stay on the phone, we will come back to you shortly with our decision. Okay, sir?
All right.
The board is now into discussion. Fellow board members, this is one of those challenging cases in as much that the primary allegation involves assaultive activities. Those charges were dropped. I recognize that doesn't discount that there was contact with the police. And later in the case supervision summary, it seems that his parole officer was working with him when it came to the issue of the continuing use of marijuana. I say this because I think his parole officer would have violated him much sooner with that many positive samples, but the issue is going to be, on a separate note, the responsibility of Mr. Randolph, should this board return him to community custody to have a medical marijuana card, otherwise he'll find himself in the same position and violated. based on the amount of time that's left on his prison sentence and the need for Mr. Randolph to be gainful, and again that the charges in question were dropped, I am open to returning them to community supervision, but that's where I'd like to begin the discussion.
That's terrible.
Yes, sir, Mr. Johnson.
I'm telling you, I am reluctantly open to returning him to community supervision because of the incident that happened when the charges were dropped, that he's not going to be able to have any contact with his wife, with his daughter, or any of those people that were, anyone that was in that house during that period of time. And he has over a year and a half left on his community supervision. So I do understand the fact that he needs to work and help support his daughter, but he's going to have to restrain himself and work with his PO in order to do that. I think that at some point, if he works with the PO, he may have an opportunity to see him, but I'm reluctantly, but I do understand because he has such a long time still left, I'm willing to give him the opportunity. But if he violates, then he's going to be back in custody. He's going to be there for a good period of time. So Mr. Randolph is going to have to understand the situation that he has created involving this incident.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And I will say, for the sake of fellow board members, I hear what Mr. Johnson is saying. I do have some concerns in the big picture of setting Mr. Randolph up for failure with such a long period of time with such restriction, but that's where I'm at. Any further dialogue?
I think the last statement that you made is very important, setting him up for failure. And my question is, in my mind, I'm only speaking as one board member. He won't be able to have any contact at all with his daughter. I don't even know how they exchange sex or nothing of that nature, because he is, you know, I mean, this is an unfortunate situation. I do recognize what the mother has said. I recognize, I respect it. I recognize what the daughter has said. I recognize what Mr. Randolph has said. But how can one, it just seemed to me that this is almost an impossible situation. I know what the mother wants, and I understand and I respect it, but how can one do anything when you can't have any contact whatsoever? You can't contact by email, you can't contact by computers, you can't contact, zero contact, you can't contact by camera, nothing. And that's the laws of the state of Arizona. We do not control those policies. That's something that we have zero control over. And I just believe that we'll send them up to fail, honestly. That's how the other part of the world wants to do.
Thank you, Doctor. Any further input from the...
I agree with Doctor.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Neal? A quick question of our community corrections officer, and it's just my own clarification. When you have a domestic violence charge, an assault charge, and the charges are dismissed, where does that fall? Is the issue with parole or with the criminal justice system?
Well, charges get dismissed all the time, but that's my understanding. That doesn't mean nothing ever happened. But with us, the behavior occurred, police were called. And regardless of circumstances, there will be no contact. We won't be here.
That's what I'm looking for. I want to make sure that we're not, it's just like if, but this is a firm parole policy. Thank you, sir.
Yes, Mr. Osborne. So in that policy, is that just a strict policy of no contact, or is there ever possible that we may be able to make some contact with the permission of the parole officer?
It's possible to be a year after like 6 months or so of domestic violence class. I mean, it's a long process. And because they are mentioned in a police report, that's why it's so strict. If it was just hearsay or something else like that, since it was a police report, and there were statements to the police from the children as witnesses, it would stick. There was no way getting around it.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and I assure this board I take no pleasure in it, but based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W2600, our discussion with the Community Corrections Officer as well as our dialogue with Mr. Randolph, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Randolph is delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed, or was about to lapse, in as much as that he did have police contact over a domestic violence incident, into criminal ways for company.
Second.
Utmost regret. I'm sorry.
I disagree.
Okay. Ms. Neal? The motion is carried with the vote of 3 yeas and 2 nays, and the motion is to continue on community supervision under the same conditions. To revoke community supervision. I apologize for that misstep. Mr. Randolph, your supervision has been revoked, and you'll be released on or about June 10th, 2019. I recognize that's a long period of time. We take no pleasure in this decision. But if you heard the dialogue, I think at center stage was the concern that based on the restrictions of parole, in particular, contact with the victims, which in this case happened to be family, that it just did not sound like a positive arrangement for community supervision, and for the lack of a better expression, it sounded like a recipe for failure. We do wish you a safe return to the community. Again, you'll be out on June 10, 2019. We want to see you succeed when you return. We wish you the best. This hearing is concluded. This further discussion may take place. Thank you, sir.